Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of Reach Wrestling. I am your host, Anna Reed, and today I'll be reviewing the August 23rd edition of Raw. But before I get into my Raw review, I wanted to give my quick SummerSlam review of what I thought was great and some of the highlights of the match. So I'm going to start off with John Cena versus Roman Reigns, which I thought was an actual incredible match. I actually thought it was a slow burn. They slowly build up to anticipation. But overall, I honestly think it was a very, very good match. And Cena, hey, he's not ring rusted. That guy, he brings it every time he's going to come back to WWE. And with Roman Reigns winning and John Cena putting Roman Reigns over, a lot of people are saying, well, this is John Cena's last match. Or John Cena, he indicated that this might have been his last match for a while. So when he says for a while, I would say we're not going to see him back in WWE for another, God knows, like maybe 4 or 5 years. And that's if he wants to come back, because, you know, hey, he's a very busy man. I mean, that guy's doing movies every single damn week or month. So there's no way we're going to get him back as a full time. And another highlight of that match was, of course, Brock Lesnar finally coming back to WWE, you know, rocking his new ponytail and beard. He looked bigger. I think he's been working out. He's bigger. And now, obviously, they're going to settle for a Brock Lesnar versus a Roman Reigns match, which I think this time will be a great match. Sure, we got it at WrestleMania and stuff like that, but that was when, you know, Roman was still the babyface and no one liked him. But now with this heel Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns match will be great. And now I'm going to move on to Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. It was supposed to be a title match, but Sasha Banks wasn't allowed to wrestle. So then Carmella comes out, and honestly, I was like, okay, why are they always putting Carmella into this situation? They're just using her as like a jobber. So they wanted to have a match, but then out of nowhere, Becky Lynch makes her return, and the pop of the crowd was amazing. She comes out. She gets into the ring, and sadly, she just beats Bianca Belair in less than 20 seconds. That was terrible, I think. That was a terrible move. I get it. You want to build up Becky Lynch into a heel, but Bianca Belair deserves way better than that. She's a great athlete. She is a great wrestler. She deserves way better than a 20-second loss. Obviously, they're going to build this up. And to be honest, I predicted it. Since Bianca Belair won the championship at WrestleMania, I said it to everyone and to myself, Bianca's going to lose it at SummerSlam. And look, she lost it at SummerSlam. Not the way I thought she was going to lose it, but she ended up losing it. So I'm actually very, very interested to see a Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair match. I think that's going to be one of the greatest women's wrestling matches in a while. And then another highlight I want to say is Damian Priest is finally a champion. I've said it so many times. He deserves to be a champion. And finally, they put a belt around his waist, and it's the United States title. And I'm also happy because Sheamus is finally not champion, because he wasn't even doing anything with that belt. So I'm extremely happy for Damian Priest. And it kind of seems like he has a new like mojo with him being champion. So great, great, great match. And now move on to Lashley versus Goldberg. Surprisingly, I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting too much from Goldberg. I was expecting a little bit of like little tosses here and there. You know, he was probably going to get winded. But no, he actually wrestled a pretty good amount. I mean, he did a lot of different moves and stuff. Obviously, Lashley overpowered him. And in MVP, you know, he hit Goldberg's leg and messed it up, and the match had to be stopped by the referee because Goldberg couldn't keep walking because his leg was messed up. And then Goldberg's son jumps in and tries to attack Lashley, and Lashley just puts him into the hurt lock. I mean, I thought it was great. It was a great heel turn. It makes Lashley more vicious than what he was before. Overall, I think SummerSlam was a success. I actually feel like it was a really good pay-per-view. It went long. It went for like 4 hours, I think. It was a very long pay-per-view. But, oh yeah, other than that, RK-Bro, funny tag team champions too. Almost forgot about that. I'm so happy for RK-Bro, and they're actually officially a team now. So it's great to see RK-Bro going somewhere. But yeah, like I was saying, so yeah, SummerSlam, I actually think it was a very good pay-per-view. They went for it, and I think they succeeded. Now I'm going to move on to my Raw review, and the night starts off with Bobby Lashley and MVP. They go into the ring, and MVP, he wants to address what happened at SummerSlam, and he says that him and Lashley were shocked that Goldberg would even challenge Lashley for the title, and the MVP says that he didn't know that he showed up with his son, and when he comes close to beating the Almighty, but he only succeeded on making him angry. And the MVP goes on to say that only a few men have beaten Goldberg, but only Lashley has stopped him. MVP then says that Lashley was attacked from behind by someone, and he didn't know who it was. He didn't know it was Goldberg's son, and he just put anyone in the Hurt Locker as long as it was trying to defend himself. And then Lashley says that, hey, anyone who thinks that Lashley owes Goldberg any sort of apology can go to hell, which is great. This is what I'm saying about Lashley and MVP as a heel. The MVP just oozes out like hatred, and he just hypes up Lashley so much. And then Lashley, his intensity is just out of this world right now. And like with him and MVP saying that, no, we don't owe Goldberg an apology or his son, that's great for his heel character. It's great. But then out of nowhere, the person I least expected to ever interrupt Bobby Lashley was Damian Priest. He comes out and basically calls Lashley a coward for what he did for Goldberg and his son. And why would he even do that? And then Damian Priest, he ends up challenging Lashley to a match at the beginning of Raw, which I think is a refreshing match. This is a fresh match. Like, this is a match we have not seen. We didn't even think of. So kudos to WWE for at least showing us something new that can happen. So then as the match progressed, it was, you know, back and forth, but then out of nowhere Sheamus ends up coming out of the ring and causes a disqualification. Then Lashley and Sheamus, they start assaulting Priest, and then out of nowhere Drew McIntyre ends up coming out and makes a save, and then Drew takes Lashley down, and hopefully they haven't forgotten the stipulation they made, because, you know, it sounds like something that they would do, hopefully. So then that was the end of the first match, which was a very, very quick match. I mean, nothing crazy happened. So then we're going to move on to Ricochet versus Cross, or Karrion Kross. He's rocking a new attire. Well, it's fairly new, you know. It's a edgy thing. You know, he has a metal mask now for his entrance. Karrion Kross, I mean, this match was like a dud. I mean, it was like 2-3 minutes in, Karrion Kross just beats Ricochet faster than anything else I've ever seen in my life. But I'm starting to get kind of scared about Karrion Kross being on the red brand. I kind of feel like they just don't know what direction to take him. Like, I don't think they want to make him as dominant as he was in NXT as he is in Raw. I feel like they might get a little scared about that, but I don't know. I don't really see Karrion Kross moving up the middle card, Sally, and I think he should. He deserves to go up the middle card. But I don't see anything happening for Karrion Kross for a while. And I'm kind of scared. Even worse, that Scarlett's not even there with him. Scarlett is part of Karrion Kross's character. So it kind of my mind bottles me that I have this strange feeling I just not going to go anywhere with Karrion Kross. Even worse, that he lost the NXT Championship to Samoa Joe at TakeOver. So my hopes is that hopefully they end up finding a really very good storyline with someone else and actually kind of make him someone. It would have been awesome to see him versus the Fiend, Karrion Kross versus the Fiend. I think that would have been a great, great match. So then we move on to Logan Paul on Moist TV. I mean, I don't know why they keep bringing in Logan Paul. His reception hasn't really been the best. But, I mean, I guess, hey, The Miz likes this guy, and Morrison likes this guy. So, I mean, you know, The Miz says that him and Logan, you know, they're both from Cleveland, and that he loves the Pauls. And Miz asks, like, what round is his brother is getting knocked out in, which gets a big pop, which obviously we all want to see the fucking Pauls get knocked out. And Logan says that his brother's going to knock out Woodley, and Logan threatens to knock out Miz. So I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And then the myth says that he must give him that, that he must say that he gives him Moist TV out of the goodness of his heart. And then Logan leaves. And then Miz, he blames Morrison. Which, this is a long time coming. I think the whole Miz and John Morrison split was a long time coming. How long would it go? I don't know. I mean, it was kind of official when the Miz, like, basically would just water down Morrison with the little gun. And then Jumbo says that the Miz didn't have a problem with the dripstick and that he was faking an injury. Then he says that he didn't invite Miz on because he was preparing for his match with Xavier Woods. It was a very random match. I'm kind of like heartbroken though that Miz attacked Morrison. This was a great duel. I mean, it wasn't gonna last long, but it was a great duel. And I love the Miz character when he was in a wheelchair. I think it was one of the best comedy bits that WWE does in a while. And mind you, they don't really do a lot of comedy bits that are actually get over with the fans. So it was actually, I find it so funny. I'm going to miss it, the whole wheelchair gimmick. So then we move on to Xavier Woods versus The Miz. And this was a very straightforward match. You know, he dropped his Miz to the knee that was injured. And he faced being injured again, but the referee doesn't buy it. And then Woods grabs a dripstick and squirts it on the floor, and then Woods reverses the toss into the steps, and Miz goes sliding into them. And then Morrison gets on their apron and squirts Wood with the dripstick, and then Miz rolls him up for around 7 seconds. But the referee is distracted by Jomo, and Woods cradles Miz for the win. So Xavier Woods actually gets the win, finally. But then here comes the thing. The Miz, he soaks away from Jomo, who jokes around probably pretending to squirt him. He apologizes to the Miz and goes to get the dripstick, but then they squirt them into the crowd until Miz jumps Morrison from behind and attacks him. I was like, oh, here we go. It hurts me, like I was saying, but at the same time, I feel like they do need some sort of TV programming. They need some sort of storyline. They can't keep this whole Moist TV, you know, Bad Bunny type thing going. It's bound to get old very, very quickly. So they had to do this. And I'm happy that they did do it. But the question is, who will actually get over? That's the question. I would hope for Morrison to get over, but we will see. Then we move on to probably the blunder of the night, Mansoor versus Jinder Mahal. I mean, I don't even know why you would schedule this match. I mean, Jinder Mahal literally like worked Mansoor like he was a toy. He didn't do anything. I mean, Jinder Mahal, I mean, he gets disqualified for like continuing to assault Mansoor in the corner, and Ali was not happy. I mean, he gets in the ring and tells Manny to do things his way. And then Drew and Priest, and then that. I was like, okay, there was a blunder. As for Jinder Mahal, it's so up and down with him. Like, one minute he's like in a storyline that's going to get him a little bit over. But then that storyline ends at a pay-per-view or whatever. But then he ends up going like to the lower mid-card. But then he goes back up to another main story. And as for Mansoor, this rookie, I still don't see him. I mean, he has talent. He's a high flyer. He knows what to do, how to do it, and when to do it. But I just don't see him going far. And I feel like they only signed them just because they were in Saudi Arabia and they needed someone to represent them, even though they have Jinder Mahal. But I don't see Mansoor really moving up the ladder real quick. And then we move on to a Charlotte promo. She is the new Raw's Women's Champion. Shocker, she beat Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. at SummerSlam. Shocker, personally, I feel like Rhea Ripley should have won that. She deserves it too. But it's like WWE panics and they just put it on Flair for the time being and then they give it out to someone else. I don't know what the hell they're thinking about Charlotte Flair, but as for her promo, she comes out and she says that no one compares to her and her 12 title reigns. She calls herself the opportunity and says that no female star comes close to her legacy. Charlotte says that she doesn't need friends, family, or the WWE universe. She has all that she needs right there, which is the WWE Women's Championship. And she goes on to say that she looked in the mirror and saw the Roman's champion, and that she wanted to give everyone the opportunity to walk around with the title instead of Nikki. So I feel like with her saying that, this whole Charlotte Flair Nikki ASH thing is going to keep going for a while. And then she says she's here to restore order, and it's time for a real woman to hold the belt. She said that she isn't messing around anymore, and that she started the first ever women's revolution, which I would always say, hey, technically it was AJ, Lee, and Paige, technically, but she was in the mix, but whatever. And basically, long live the queen. So then, Lily and Alexa interrupts, and she just wanted to say hi, which was random. Are they building up to Charlotte Flair versus Lily? Or are they going to build up? Are they going to keep going for Charlotte Flair versus Nikki ASH? Or is it going to be another triple threat match? Which I hope is not another triple threat match. I feel like that's the only way that they can really keep the women's division alive on Raw is a triple threat match. But like, it's getting so old. We don't need it. So for me, the fresh thing would be Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. I think that would be a fresh new look at things. And they can actually kind of keep going with the whole supernatural thing. Maybe Charlotte can show a little bit of fear instead of just always looking dominant. They can show a little bit of vulnerability with, you know, Lily haunting Charlotte Flair, which I think would be a great recipe. So then we move on to a quick vignette from Elias, which I'm still bummed out that they're really going to kill off the whole guitar Elias. You know, this time it's like Elias is dead. And, you know, the vignette was just like, you know, WWE stood for World Wrestling Entertainment before Walk with Elias. And now he conquered the entertainment part, and now he wants to conquer the wrestling part. So this character change, I don't know how it's going to work out. I guess he's going to be more of a wrestler of a mat wrestler, instead of focusing on entertaining us with his guitar, which I'm going to miss for dear life. I don't think this gimmick is going to last for a while. I feel like it's going to be a little few months, and then he's gonna resort back to his guitar gimmick, and he's gonna find out that that's what worked for him, not this whole serious gimmick thing going on. So then we move on to a women's tag team match. We got Nikki ASH and Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. Another reason why the women's division on Raw is not looking the best ever. At this point, Nia and Shayna Baszler, they don't even know what to do with them. They don't know if they want them to be tag team champion, if they want them to resort to be something else, or to just break them up. I feel like at this point, they should just break them up. They're basically useless at this point. They're not doing anything but just dropping matches. So as for the tag team women's match, it was faulty, you know. Basically, Shayna and Nia, they've been beating up Nikki this whole time. Then Nia drags Nikki into her corner, but Nikki's feet knock Shayna off the apron. Then Nikki stops Nia from hitting the bonsai drop, and she makes the hot tag to Rhea Ripley, who comes in and she just starts destroying everyone. And Rhea Ripley, she brings it to Baszler, and then Nia goes to break up a pin, but Rhea moves away and Nia splashes Shayna, and then Rhea orders Nikki to dive on Nia, which she does, and then Rhea lays Shayna out with a riptide to win. Like I said, the Raw women's division, I think they're just focusing so much on Charlotte, and that's the problem. They focus so much on her and at the rest of the women, so then when it comes time for them to put one of these women against Charlotte Flair, we instantly think that there's no match for them, because they just don't want us to take the opponent serious. They want us to take a Charlotte Flair serious. And I think it's biting them in the ass. They should stop being so stupid. And they should start actually firing up every single woman. Like at this point, just break up Nia and Shayna Baszler. Make them go against each other. Make them go in a hardcore match or whatever it is. Get them out. You finish that. Then you have, it should be Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Nikki, I think at this point, as much as she might be over now, she should just end her thing and just put her down for a little bit, like I was saying, and, you know, kind of make her go through the motions. And then she starts seeing how Rhea's getting an opportunity. Rhea was trying to be her best friend, boom, Nikki gets jealous, and there'll be Nikki versus Rhea Ripley, and then Charlotte can get involved and kind of turn the pot around. Boom, it could be that easy, but no, they want to make it more complicated than it is, and I hate that. So then we move on to RK-Bro, the celebration, and this is great because RK-Bro is now tag team champion. They won it at SummerSlam, thank God, finally something fresh and new. And I've personally never been a fan of AJ Styles versus and almost really. I feel like this is a very off tag team, but it is what it is. As for the celebration, Riddle starts by saying that RK-Bro being, you know, is being on a wild ride ever since Randy Orton came back. And I mean the celebration was pretty cool. You know, there was balloons and Randy comes out and, you know, he can't do his pose because of the balloons and the way. So then and then Pyro, actual Pyro goes off. I was actually surprised that SummerSlam had no Pyro, but whatever, that's for another thing. So the Pyro goes on, and then Riddle, you know, he brought Randy his own scooter that he made himself. And I think the scooter was so cool. I think it's such a cool present. I mean, you can tell that Riddle really wants to be this guy's friend. And then, of course, an old-fashioned AJ and almost they interrupted. AJ says that Randy got a scooter from almost to break across his knee. But Randy, he didn't get Riddle anything, not even a hug. So I was like, oh, okay. So they're trying to stir the pot a little bit. Then AJ says that he got Riddle a phenomenal forearm for his stupid face, which is actually a funny line. And then basically AJ says he's going to whoop his ass right now, and Riddle accepts it. So then we quickly move on to Riddle versus AJ Styles. And the match started during the commercial break, so we didn't really see what was happening in the beginning, but I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty obvious it was going to be a banger like these two usually do. I mean, these two are great athletes, and I suspected, I mean, the match was super, super, super good. You know, Riddle, he goes up for a floating bro, but almost distracts him, and then Orton charges at almost, but almost catches him and tosses him aside. Then Styles, he goes for a Styles clash, but Orton jumps on almost and starts attacking him with the scooter that Riddle made him. And then Riddle hits the bro Derek on AJ, and Matt Riddle gets the win. I was actually shocked that Riddle was gonna, I actually kind of thought AJ was gonna win, kind of keep it going. But hey, I'm kind of sad though that the scooter kind of got ripped apart. It was a pretty cool scooter, I mean, you know. And then after the match, AJ got to his feet and Orton drops him with an RKO. I'm actually gonna say this was actually one of the best matches of the night so far, and I mean it was an incredible, but it was a pretty interesting match. And I want to tell you that Raw was it wasn't incredible, it was good, it was fair. Overall, I mean, there wasn't much to moan about, to be honest. There wasn't much complaining I would do. But I would say that they could do better with the women's division, because at this point it's just falling apart. And I just don't know what they're going to do with him. Kind of getting scared. And I feel like Karrion Kross situation, that they just need to keep pushing and pushing and pushing him. I mean, like out there pushing Riddle, they should just push Karrion Kross into something else. And with this new character helmet, like, it looks like a shredder. It's just, it kind of bottles me to see what they're going to do with it. But other than that, I mean, I didn't feel like I was wasting my time watching Raw. And I'm probably still going to, I mean, obviously I'm still going to just keep watching. And hopefully they keep bringing in something new. That will do it for this episode of Reach Wrestling. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.